They say silence is golden, but in Claire Warren's case, silence became her weapon. After suffering a traumatic miscarriage in her second trimester, Claire emerged from the hospital unable or unwilling to speak. The doctors called it conversion disorder, a psychological response to unbearable grief. Her husband, Daniel, an ER physician at the same hospital, blamed himself. He showered her with attention, made her tea she never drank, hovered over her like a guardian angel who never left the room. But Claire wasn't grieving. Not anymore. While Daniel cried behind closed doors and read her poetry to bring back her voice, Claire was texting another man from a burner phone she kept hidden behind the fake bottom of a tampons box. She didn't lose the baby because of stress. She chose to terminate it and never told her husband. Because the man she really loved was not her husband, and the man she loved had given her an ultimatum. Lose the child, lose the husband, or lose him forever. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Sound of Her Silence. The hospital room smelled like bleach and wilted carnations. The heart monitor had already been turned off. The crib beside the bed sat empty, untouched. There was no infant, no crying, no birth certificate. Just Claire, propped up on the hospital bed, like a porcelain statue with a vacant stare and dry lips that hadn't moved in 42 hours. Daniel hadn't left the room since the surgery. He barely slept. He refused to take his shift at the ER and told his boss to dock his pay if needed. His wife, his Claire, was broken. And for the first time in his adult life, he didn't know how to fix something. "Claire," he whispered, crouching beside her bed like a priest at confession. "I'm here. I'm not going anywhere." No response. "Do you remember the lake house, when you dropped the champagne in the canoe and I jumped in like a lunatic to grab it?" Still nothing. He smiled despite himself. "You laughed so hard you snorted. God, I miss that sound." Claire blinked, slowly, deliberately, but her mouth remained sealed. They called it selective mutism. The psychologist on rotation had explained how trauma could shut the brain down in ways even science struggled to understand. It wasn't that she couldn't speak, it was that she wouldn't. And in Daniel's grief-blind mind, that meant one thing. He had to love her harder. 3 weeks later, Claire sat in her wheelchair beneath the big bay window at home, sunlight casting geometric shapes across the hardwood floor. Daniel had filled the house with quiet things, no loud music, no TV, just classical piano playing softly in the background. He blended her smoothies, cut her sandwiches into hearts, made her laugh with old photos she couldn't acknowledge. Her silence deepened his guilt. He had been on call the night she started bleeding. He missed her calls, ignored the 911 texts, thought it was just another stress-induced false alarm. He got home 6 hours later to find her collapsed in the bathroom, blood seeping across the white tile like a spreading ink blot. She almost died. He had failed her. Now he kept a log of everything: what she ate, how many words she wrote on her little whiteboard, how many times she blinked in response to yes or no. Her muteness became his obsession, her healing his mission. But Claire didn't want healing. Claire wanted out. Out of this marriage. Out of this suburban prison. Out of this carefully curated life of casserole dishes, Pinterest walls, and forced intimacy with a man who no longer thrilled her. She wanted him, Lucas, her Pilates instructor, her lover, her escape plan. She'd met Lucas 6 months earlier at a boutique gym in the city. He was 9 years younger, tattooed, soft-spoken, and dangerous in all the ways Daniel wasn't. Their flirtation escalated fast. One day she stayed after class. The next, they were naked in the sauna. 2 months into the affair, she missed her period. She told Lucas the truth, that she was pregnant. He didn't yell. He didn't panic. He just leaned close and whispered, "You know what you have to do." Daniel didn't notice the burner phone for weeks. Claire was meticulous. She charged it at night while he was asleep, deleting every text after reading it. The phone stayed in the linen closet, taped to the inside of a detergent box. Lucas had taught her that. Hide it where no man wants to. Look. She wore earphones when she meditated, pretending to listen to nature sounds while actually sexting Lucas beneath her blanket. She even took videos, silent ones, her eyes saying more than any scream. She couldn't speak, but her body could lie in fluent motion. One Thursday morning, Daniel called in late for his shift at the ER. He stood at the bathroom sink, his toothbrush in hand, watching Claire in the mirror. She was in her robe, hair damp from the shower, sipping a green smoothie. She always drank slowly now, as if performing healing for an invisible audience. Something in her expression caught his eye. Was that a smirk? No, just a twitch, a ghost of emotion, gone before it was real. Daniel shook it off. Later that evening, while Claire napped in her sunroom chair, Daniel went to the linen closet, looking for lavender-scented dryer sheets. Claire always kept them in the bottom drawer, tucked inside an old tampon box. He opened it and saw the phone. Black, cheap, still warm in his hand. Daniel stared at it like it had grown fangs. Then he closed the door, quietly, carefully. He walked back to the bedroom, phone in hand. Claire was still asleep. He unlocked the screen. No password. And there they were, dozens of texts. I miss your mouth. I watched our video again last night. You're mine now. He'll never know unless you screw up. Did you take care of it yet? Photos, videos, Claire's body, silent, expressive, hungry. A memory hit him like a tidal wave. Claire, just weeks before the miscarriage, telling him she felt disconnected, asking odd questions about abortion clinics out of state. That wasn't about grief. That wasn't about them. She hadn't lost the baby. She'd ended it. For him. For this man. Daniel sat in the dark, the phone trembling in his hand. The Claire he was loving back to life was never broken. She was playing him. Claire awoke to find a single note beside her pillow. I'm working overnight. Don't wait up. Love you. She blinked at the paper, tilted her head. Her instinct told her something was off. Daniel always kissed her forehead, always. She checked the linen closet. The phone was gone. Her throat went dry. In less than an hour, she was in the garage, the keys to her husband's second car in hand. She hadn't driven in weeks, but she didn't care. She peeled out of the driveway and drove straight to the city, straight to Lucas's loft. She banged on the door, shaking. When Lucas opened it, shirtless, half asleep, her silence didn't faze him. He smirked. Trouble in paradise? Claire nodded, frantically scribbling on her notepad. He knows. Lucas's eyes narrowed. How much does he know? She wrote, everything. The phone is gone. Lucas took the notepad, read it again. Then something shifted in his expression. Cold. Calculating. Then we need to disappear. Tonight. Back at home, Daniel stood in his basement office. The burner phone sat open on the desk. His hands were shaking, not from fear, but fury. The woman he would have died for had used his grief like theater lighting, had used their child as currency. He opened his drawer, removed a box. Inside, syringes, vials, sedatives. The kind you only accessed with a medical badge and a willing sense of denial. He was done being the quiet husband, the good man. Claire thought silence was a weapon. She was about to learn that a scalpel speaks louder than words. Chapter 2. A Mouthful of Silence. The engine of Daniel's car hadn't cooled. Its warmth still lingered in the garage like a phantom touch. Inside the house, the lights remained off. Claire was gone, but he wasn't surprised. In fact, he counted on it. He poured himself a glass of bourbon and watched the playback on the home security app. Clear footage of Claire discovering the burner phone was missing. Her panic had been textbook. Garage door opens, brake lights flare, vehicle gone in under 3 minutes. She'd gone to him. To Lucas. Daniel sipped the bourbon and watched her leave again, frame by frame. Her silence had never disturbed him as much as her performance did now. And every time he played it back, he admired her talent. She had turned muteness into a strategy, a disguise, a shield against accountability. But every performance has a closing act, and Daniel had just written hers. Lucas's loft was tucked between two abandoned storefronts in an industrial district just off Canal Street. It was the kind of place where screams would be mistaken for city noise, and missing people were just another Tuesday. Claire had always hated the area. Too raw, too unfiltered. But it made sense that Lucas would nest in decay. He was charming like mold, intoxicating and lethal in slow doses. She paced his hardwood floor, phone in one hand, writing furiously with the other. "We need to leave tonight. He's not safe." Lucas scanned her note with one eyebrow cocked. "You think he's going to hurt you?" Claire nodded. Wrote again. He found everything. The videos. The abortion. The texts. "He knows I was never mute." Lucas exhaled and ran a hand through his hair. "Then this is your moment. The last clean break." He opened his closet and pulled out a small duffel bag already half packed. Claire froze. "Already packed? How long have you been planning this?" she wrote. Lucas didn't answer right away. He zipped the bag, then looked at her squarely. "A long time." That was when her stomach dropped. Not from guilt, from something colder, primal, something that whispered, "You're not in control anymore." Claire picked up her phone and started typing a message to herself, a mental to-do list, step-by-step instructions for how to disappear, get cash, burn a SIM, train ticket to Montreal. But she never hit send, because the power went out. The loft fell into darkness. Silence. Lucas grabbed a flashlight. The hell? Claire backed into the kitchen. Her hands trembled. She tapped out another note. "He's here." Lucas scoffed. "Don't be dramatic." And then they heard it. Footsteps. Slow. Steady. From the stairwell. Daniel moved with surgical precision. He wore black. Gloves. No phone. Just a pocket full of things that didn't belong to him. Lucas's gym keycard, lifted from Claire's bag. A vial of ketamine, and a set of syringes packed in a sealed bag marked discard. He stepped into the hallway. Third floor. Two doors down. No cameras. His heart pounded with mechanical calm, that familiar clarity he'd felt in med school during his first cadaver dissection. The body had no secrets if you knew where to look. Claire had underestimated him. Lucas had misread him. And now, it was his turn to be the conductor. He stopped at the door. Listened. Inside, whispers. Barely audible, but close enough. He removed a small vial, filled the syringe, and tapped the air bubbles out. A perfectly silent operation. Then he knocked. Three times. Lucas reached for the kitchen knife. Claire
froze. The knock had been too polite, too measured. Lucas stepped toward the door. "Who is it?" he asked. No answer. Another knock. Same rhythm. Claire grabbed a wine bottle. Her legs shook. Lucas unlocked the chain and cracked the door. And that was when Daniel struck. A burst of movement, a jab to the neck. Lucas gasped. The syringe slid in clean. Claire screamed, but no sound came out. She watched as Lucas stumbled backward, grabbing at his throat, eyes rolling. His body convulsed, then slumped to the floor like a marionette with cut strings. Daniel stepped inside. Calm. Casual. He looked at Claire. "Found your voice yet?" She backed into the corner, fingers flying across her notepad. "Please, don't. I'll do anything." Daniel smiled. "I know." He walked over to Lucas's unconscious body, rolled him onto his side. "No airway obstruction," he muttered. "Good muscle tone. He'll live. For now." Claire's hands shook. "What do you want from me?" He knelt down in front of her, took her chin in his gloved hand. His voice softened. "I want to know who you are, because the woman I married is dead, and I want to meet the one who replaced her." Claire didn't answer. She couldn't. Not because of trauma, because she was afraid if she spoke now, the illusion would truly die. Daniel bound Lucas's hands with surgical tape, tight, then moved to the kitchen, sterilized a wine opener, and returned. He handed it to Claire. "Open his mouth." She froze. Tears welled in her eyes. "What are you doing?" an exercise, Daniel whispered. For your recovery. He knelt beside Lucas, holding him still. Claire shook her head violently. She dropped the opener. Her mouth opened, but only air came out. Daniel smiled. There she is. He stood, backed away. I'm not going to hurt him, not yet. But you are going to watch. Over the next hour, Daniel laid out every betrayal with surgical detail. He played the videos Claire had sent Lucas. He read the texts aloud, each one like a sermon. Lucas, sedated but conscious, moaned in protest, but couldn't move. Claire couldn't stop crying. You think you're the first woman to get bored? Daniel said, circling the room. To want danger? To confuse lust with liberation? I would have understood, if you told me. But this was theater. He held up the phone.
Replayed a clip of Claire in lingerie, blowing a kiss to the camera with one finger pressed to her lips. Mute, but not modest. You exploited my grief to protect your lie, he growled. You let me suffer while you danced for this idiot like a puppet. Claire finally screamed, not loud, but audible. One word. Stop. Daniel froze and smiled. See? You can talk. He dropped the phone, shattered the screen beneath his shoe. Then he walked out. Claire sat in the loft for hours, afraid to move. Lucas groaned behind her, still groggy but breathing. Her silence had been broken. Not by choice, but by force. She reached for her phone. It buzzed before she could call 911. One text, from an unknown number. If you tell the police, the next vial won't be sedative. It'll be cyanide. He's lucky I still believe in mercy. You only get one chance at honesty. Use it. Below it, an attachment. A photo. Their wedding day. Her veil blowing in the wind. Daniel's hand on her waist. His eyes, now clearly, unmistakably, watching. 1 week later, Claire gave a televised interview. Her voice quivered as she sat beside Daniel on a morning news show, thanking the community for their support. Her miscarriage, she said, had led to a temporary psychological break, one she had now overcome through the unwavering love of her husband. She smiled. He smiled back. They looked perfect. Until the camera panned away, and her hand, resting on his thigh, subtly tapped one word in Morse code. Help.